Blog Talk Radio.
Cadence Mullen. Welcome to the second edition of my show. I'm so excited to have you here to share this experience with me. The goal of this podcast is to empower others to be heard, through the stories shared, to inspire volunteerism through encouragement and education, and raise awareness by promoting causes and resources. I would like to take a moment to thank my sponsor, Crown Talk of Burgundy Radio, where you are never too young to be a role model. Today, I'm happy to have our guest, Caitlin Ocean, on the show to share her experiences. Caitlin has not been yet on only my has sorry. Caitlin has been not only my advocate through a really hard time in my life, but she is also my friend. Caitlin Ocean is currently an advocate at the Child Advocacy Center. She graduated from Peru State College with a degree in criminal justice counseling. Caitlin has done social work for the last 5 years. She started with an internship at Cedars Youth Services, which then became a full-time position at the TLC Girls Group Home. After TLC closed due to budget cuts, Caitlin was hired on with the Department of Health and Human Services as a child and family services specialist. Caitlin worked for several years as a caseworker before applying to become an advocate for children. Caitlin has been with the CAC for almost 2 years and describes being an advocate as demanding but rewarding work. Good afternoon, Caitlin.
Hey, Cadence. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Nothing new here in Nebraska.
Thank you for taking the time to be on the show today. I am so lucky and honored to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. I've never been on a podcast. It's exciting.
I hope you have an awesome time as I'm having. Can you please tell me more about the Child Advocacy Center and what their mission is?
Yeah, so at the Child Advocacy Center, as you know, our goal is to help children and families. We have what we like to say like three main goals in our mission. The first is to reduce trauma suffered by child victims. The second is to strengthen families and provide safe homes for them. And then the last goal that we have is to increase the successful prosecution of their abusers. And, you know, those goals look differently for every family that comes to the CAC. Whether a child has been physically abused or sexually abused, if they've witnessed a crime or been in a situation where they were endangered by alcohol or substance use, our job here is to provide support and resources to those families. And that's kind of where our advocates, our interviewers, and we also have therapy and medical services. That's, you know, all those things come into play with how we help families.
Thank you so much for being Thank you so much for being able to do that. I am so thankful to have places such as the Child Advocacy Center to help kids like me to have a voice and to support and to have support after the unfortunate experiences. Caitlin, what is your role at the Child Advocacy Center?
So I'm one of four advocates that we have here. We have basically two direct services people. So we have our interviewers, and there are four of them too, and then our advocates. And so my role as an advocate, again, is just to help, support families and their children. One thing that I do and that I help families with is just kind of learning about this process and going through this process. Something that we don't really learn about in school is what to do when something terrible like this happens to us. So it's my job to really help families know what might be coming next if they've contacted law enforcement, or if a family goes to the hospital, sometimes I'll go with them and I'll just walk them through that process. The same can be said if any kiddo would ever have to go to court and testify. Part of my job is helping them do that and then just kind of teaching them what that looks like.
That is so incredible. You're amazing at what you do, and I know that I could not have made it through my experience without you.
Well, thank you. And so, I mean, another goal that we also have at the CAC, you know, something that we like to do in our community is just put on trainings and different events to really teach the community about this kind of stuff, because it's not something everybody learns about. I think, you know, as kids, we learn a lot about stranger danger, or, you know, don't go to, you know, kind of like a scary van. But actually, our statistics show that almost every kid knows who their abuser is. And that, again, is just not something most people really learn about. So part of what I like to do is just make sure that whoever I'm talking to or whatever family I'm working with knows this stuff that I think is basic, but isn't basic to everybody else.
Thank you so much. That is amazing. I would like to take the time to thank my family and Miss Octavia Mallory and Burgundy Mallory for supporting me in the launch of this podcast, and Brian Staley for assisting in the creation of the logo. Thank you to our wonderful sound technicians that are working on our intro music that will be premiered in our next podcast. Now back to Caitlin. We have a caller online too. Thank you so much for calling. You are on live with Caring with Cadence. Go ahead with your question, caller.
Well, yes, ma'am. I'm just tuning into your show. What's the topic we're talking about here today?
I am live with Caitlin Ocean, and she is talking about the CAC and explaining what some of the things that they do, and I'm asking her questions and how they help us. And the what is CAC is that it's the Child Advocacy Center. It's where kids that are abused have seen something. They go to there for help. And Caitlin, do you want to explain what the CAC is about?
Yeah, so anytime a child experiences something, whether that's any form of abuse, or a lot of times what we do is work directly with law enforcement, or so our version of CPS in Nebraska is called Children and Family Services. So we work with those caseworkers and law enforcement to help talk to children and work with children and families anytime, something, I guess we can just say negative, happens to that family.
Well, let me ask you a question, ma'am. So I'm a security officer at a hospital where we have mental health, we have trauma, and I see a lot of children under 18 coming in for suicidal tendencies. They have issues with the parents. And at the hospital I work at, we don't admit these under 18 to the psychiatric unit. It's for adults only. So we look for other sites to put these the children in that are minors. So I just like your thoughts on the mental health for children. Now, how it's working out, what your thoughts are, how it can be improved. Because I see a lot of kids come in, and the parents, they're not supporting them. And the system, they're just putting them in these psychiatric wards. In Pennsylvania, we call it 302. They're 302'd. And actually, that sticks. If they're 302, that sticks with them their entire life if they do a background check.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I just like your opinion from these kids that come in for mental health and our mental health system here in the United States that obviously needs improvement.
Well, yeah, I will completely agree with you there. So you're from Pennsylvania and I'm from Nebraska, and I'm sure we do things differently, but I think universally we can all acknowledge that, something that we don't talk about enough is when anyone struggle with mental health. And so I guess what my opinion would be, and again, I'm no expert. I like to say I'm just an advocate. But my opinion is a lot of times just telling people that they're not alone, that having mental health concerns is okay, and that it's not just something that only their family is going through. So I think a lot of times, parents aren't told that what might be happening to them or even what might be happening to their kiddo is something that a lot of other people are also experiencing. So it feels very isolating and like you know, there's no one else out there. So I think just having better education and better conversations with people about what to do or when there are mental health concerns in a family, and that it's not something to be ashamed of, and it's something that people can go and ask for help for. I think that's a great start. I don't have a perfect answer for that question.
No, I agree with you. There's it's really hard watching these kids come in, and a lot of them, they keep coming back. As security,
right.
we just work in the unit, and obviously it's the residents and the doctors that make the final decision on what's going to happen to them. But you see the same kids coming in, and you see the same problems. And I just, I think our mental health system really, whoever it is president or whatever, it doesn't matter, but the mental health system really has to be looked at. Because I agree with you, ma'am, that some of these kids, when they come in, they feel ashamed and there's no reason to be. If you got issues going on, you need to be, you need to come in, and there's nothing wrong with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong to be evaluated and, looked at whatever you need. If you have problems at home where your own parents or whoever's looking after you are not, involved or doing, helping you out. So
I agree with
you. And I just wanted to chime in as someone that deals with this on a daily basis, these kids coming into the mental health, that really I hope that's really addressed and it becomes a bigger issue that everyone looks at.
Well, thank you for the work that you do also.
Thank you so much for your question and tuning in, and have a wonderful evening.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Now back to Caitlin. As I have mentioned, Caitlin, you helped me in my situation as an advocate, and I can't thank you enough. What takeaways do you have from that experience?
Oh, what takeaways? Caitlin, I loved working with you and your family. I would definitely say one of the probably strongest lessons that you guys taught me was really that even parents need advocates. When we went to court, Cadence, and you had to testify, part of my job is making sure that, you feel confident and you feel supported, but you aren't even nervous. You were cool as a cucumber. When you got on the stand, you spoke with confidence and eloquence, and I was just kind of blown away. But Mom was a different story, if you remember. I think Mom was a bit nervous. Mom was kind of like paced the floor nervous. And so as an advocate, but at the time as a kid advocate, I was, kind of like, oh, I have to really sit here and look at who needs me. And, you didn't need me. But Mom did need someone to talk to, and Mom did want someone to answer her questions and kind of walk through this whole process. And so that, the best lesson for me really was now that any family I work with, I make sure that I'm always double checking with either their parents or their caregivers. I say, I'm here for you too. And I'm here if you need anything also. So that was a great lesson that you guys taught me, just to always be assessing not just the kiddo that I'm working with, but also whoever's with them.
Thank you so much. I know my mom was a hot wreck, and it was hilarious to watch. Especially the coat incident. That was more funny.
Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget the coat.
I know she appreciated your help. I know that I will never forget the experience and the support you and the Child Advocacy Center gave to me. Are you able to share with the listeners one of your favorite memories since being an advocate?
Yeah, well, so to be honest, I think one of my favorite memories was when your mom called me and told me that we had gotten the verdict from the jury that we wanted. Because so when I started as an advocate, you know, I haven't really been at the CAC that long. I've done social work, but, you know, I'm only coming up on 2 years. So you and your family was actually one of my first cases. And, you know, it felt like we had known each other for so long, but only because that criminal justice process takes so long that by the time, you know, we had gotten to court and you had to testify and we had spent, you know, what was it, 3 days in the library basement, that by the time, you know, I was sitting at my desk and your mom called and told me, I felt so happy because I always prepare for things to not go the way I want them. You know, that's as an advocate, it's part of my job to understand that anytime you go to court, you know, there's always a possibility that it will not go the way you want it to go. And I know that's selfish because it went the way I wanted it to go, but I was just so happy for you. Because you guys had done so much work and all the traveling you guys had done and just the crazy amount of effort you guys had put into just seeing this process through. I wanted that for you so much. So when she called, I was so happy. And I still am. So really, and then it was also kind of like the completion of one of my first cases as an advocate. So it holds a lot of really happy memories for me. So it's probably something I, you know, when I'm telling stories to either interns or volunteers, or I'm talking to people and I want to tell them about a good case or something that, you know, went just the right way, I usually talk about this situation where I'm like, and that went as well as it could and we got what we wanted. And so I would definitely say that working with you and your family is one of, so far, my best memories as an advocate.
Thank you so much. I know that one of my favorite memories is that we were at the Harvest of Hope for that event, and we got to do grape filming, and it was so much fun.
Yeah. And the food there was so good.
Can you tell the listeners how much that fundraiser made?
Oh my gosh, you're going to put me on the spot. You know, I think, and I might have to double check with the development team, but I want to say it was something like maybe like $38,000 or and maybe more. As an advocate, I don't necessarily always have a hand with like the direct fundraising and organizing all those events, but I know that it was very successful and so many people after the event told me like what an amazing speaker both you and your mom were, and the Junto, the winery that we held it at, it's such a beautiful place. I think it's always amazing to have people come and just see such a nice you know, facility and place that we host at.
I know that it was really awesome to speak at the event, and one of my campaigns this year is to raise 2020 by the end of 2020.
I'm so excited.
Thank you. What advice would you give to someone who is battling an issue in their life?
Battling an issue in their life. You know, kind of like we told the caller, I would definitely just tell people that, and we can just use the word issues. So many times I think people are worried or, you know, they feel ashamed when something happens to them. And if there was anything I could tell people, it would just be that, like, so often bad things happen to other people. And you know, but they recover and they get stronger and they get help if they need it. And that is nothing to be ashamed about. It is, you know, never your fault when something happens to you, and it is always okay to reach out for help. So for anyone like battling any issue, whether that would be physical abuse or drug endangerment, like I would just always tell people to reach out and never feel scared or ashamed to reach out and ask for help.
That is very important and meaningful advice. Thank you, Caitlin. What resources would you recommend for someone going through an abuse situation?
Well, yeah, so I kind of was thinking about this question because, you know, I realized, like, you live in a totally different state from me now. So it also makes me think about, like, I could tell you all the resources I would use, and that wouldn't maybe help someone or someone listening, like, let's say from Pennsylvania. So the more I thought about it, I decided that, like, for resources I think that everyone should just have, you know, one, I would say, like, finding your local child advocacy center. You know, hopefully if you have one or if there's one that serves your area, you know, hopefully they have advocates or interviewers or people that you can talk to that, you know, will at least point you in the right direction of services or anything you need. But I also thought about, so, you know, I think as kids we're always taught how to, you know, call 911 if it's an emergency. And that'll bring, you know, the fire department or an ambulance. But most people don't actually know how to just get a law enforcement officer to come meet with you or take a report. So here in Nebraska, our non-emergency number, at least for Lincoln, is 402-441-6000. And that's the number I would give people to say, like, hey, if you call this number and say you need to make a report, an officer will come out and meet with you. So I would tell people, learn what your non-emergency law enforcement number is, because that's the difference between, you know, your non-emergency and your 911. And then the last thing is I would say, you know, every place has what we call an abuse and neglect hotline. And that might, you know, whether it has a different title, whether it's just the child hotline or an abuse hotline, I would say, you know, whether you Google it or you ask a social worker in your area, learn what that number is and just program it into your phone. Because even if it isn't, you know, you don't think that whatever you're calling about is directly related to child abuse and neglect, those people might know what resources you actually do need. So I would just say, you know, having at least those three things would be what I would give to anyone.
Thank you so much. That is so incredible. I know we talked about this a little bit already. What can people do if they want to donate or support the Child Advocacy Center?
Yeah, so we have a website, and it's www.smallvoices.org. And on our website, there's a couple things. So the first thing that we have is a wish list. And I'd love to point out the wish list because I think it kind of highlights just some things that, you know, we use for our children and our families. So anytime a kiddo comes here, you know, if they need clothing or shoes or a coat, we also, one of my favorite things to give to kids are blankets. And we have a lot of just super, like, fuzzy blankets or super soft blankets, and I love watching a kid pick one and leave, and it's probably too huge for them. But on that wish list is all the things that, you know, as a center we need, whether that's culturally diverse, like baby dolls or Barbies or Hot Wheels toys. So that wish list is definitely what I would tell people to look at. But also, we just have on our website an area for donations. And, you know, we are a nonprofit, so we run off donations. And anything people can give or share, you know, we appreciate.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time today, Caitlin. It means so much to me to have you on my show. Remember to visit the Child Advocacy Center for great resources. Thank you for taking the time to tune in to Caring with Cadence. You can find us on Facebook at Caring with Cadence, find resources and education for multiple causes and awareness. Signing off, this is Cadence Mullins with Caring with Cadence, Your Own Kind of Beautiful, and Caitlin Ocean. Goodbye.
Bye.